Our reading this morning begins Genesis chapter 40, beginning at the first verse. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams."
I think quite a few folks saw, I put out a plea on Facebook in the week this week. When I planned the preaching rota, I had the wrong date in my diary for Mothering Sunday. So we've got Genesis 40 and 41. We've got two chapters for an all-age service. And I needed some help trying to see any possible connection between the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer and Pharaoh's dreams and Mothering Sunday. So this is an amazing congregation. This was the results were fantastic. Okay, let me share some of what came up. John Courtauld made the point that every character in this chapter, including the cows, had a mother. I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Ruth Imber, I don't know Ruth, but Ruth, if you're listening to this, she made the point mums love their kids, and that helps them to grow up wise, like Joseph did. That's very good. Malcolm, very good kind of on the origins of Mothering Sunday. It's about returning to Mother Church. Joseph returned to God's plan for his life. Tenuous, as everyone in all of these said tenuous, but it was good. I like that. Mark Smith, where do we go to when we have a bad dream? When we're little, we want mum. True story. Friday night, I had a nightmare about preaching this passage. I never normally do. I just woke up in the middle of the night. I dreamt I was standing here in Wellies with no notes. Josie, you can rely on Josie to be practical, can't you? Josie said, pick a different passage, steal someone's sermon, the bishop will never know. a friend of mine, she's very smart. She's at Oak Hill Theological College. She said, baker, cupbearer, pastries, wine. What should every mum have been given this morning? There we go, pastries and wine. I did promise an Easter egg for a particularly good suggestion. Dorothy, can I put that on you? Which of those options do you like?
Oh, gosh. I think, who do you go to when you've had a bad dream?
I'm with you on that. Do we agree that's a worthy winner? Yes, there's lots of thumbs up. Okay, Mark, thank you very much for that. like everyone said, all of those, the word that came up in all of those was tenuous. So should we see what, have a look and see what is Genesis chapter 40 and 41 saying to us? The question I want us to think about it through, the lens I want to think it through, is why doesn't God make himself clearer? Why doesn't God make himself clearer? So some messages are so clear, we just understand them straight away. We know what they are. I've got some envelopes here. This one says, Mum in Pastels. It says, for the 27th of March. What do we think that is? It's a Mother's Day card, isn't it? Very good. All right. Boys and girls, this one says Safer Road, Staffordshire. You might need to look to a grown-up. Would they be pleased to get a letter through the post from Safer Road, Staffordshire? No. All of you really godly people who are looking really blank, who have no idea what that's about. Well done. Stay that way. This one, big red letters, energy bill. We're not even going to joke about that. We're not going to open that one. Some things are so obvious. Some are so clear. We know exactly what they're saying. But some things aren't. So I've got one here. It says, urgent to St. James Church. Really important. Make sure you understand this. You need to know this from the living God. Now, what happens if I don't let you read it? If I take that away and say, here's a really important message, and you don't know what it is. See, that's the position that the two men that Dorothy read about for us earlier were in. These two really important men, ministers in Pharaoh's government, had messages from God. They woke up in a cold sweat, a bit like Mark said. They wanted their mums in the morning. They had these dreams that were so weird, so vivid. They knew they were important, and they had no idea what they meant. And a message that we know is important and can't understand is worse than no message at all, isn't it? If I have 28 missed calls from my mum, and I call her back and I can't get hold of her, I'm gonna panic. I know that a message that we know is really important, and we don't know what it is, we can't understand it. That is worse than no message at all. And I want to say there is a sense in which all of us by nature are like those two men in Pharaoh's prison. See, we all know, most people at some level are aware that there is a God or gods, that God exists and God is important and might have some sense that God is speaking to them. And maybe it's when they see a beautiful sunset. Maybe we see the night sky. We have something really happy. We go to a wedding. Something really sad. We go to a funeral. We hear a beautiful piece of music. We see a piece of art. Maybe we have a dream and we wake up and it felt really significant. We just don't know what it means. So Psalm 19 says it's as if God is speaking a different language to us. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they display knowledge. Night after night they pour forth speech. There is no voice. There are no words. There is no speech. It's as if they're speaking a different language. And we hear that and we say, well, what is God saying to us? What is this message that is so important that we can't understand? And that's where those two men were. They were in prison. They didn't even think of God. No one mentions God's name here until Joseph comes along. And boys and girls, you might, and grown-ups, we might remember Joseph from a couple of weeks ago. We were thinking about him, the beloved son of the father, despised and rejected by his brothers, sold into slavery, hated, despised. He was betrayed for money. He was falsely accused, and he was put into prison. And that's where he is now. So Dorothy, would you mind reading us the next bit of the story, please?
Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. These three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head.
So many miracles there, aren't there? One is that Joseph, who's been in prison for 2 years, falsely accused, kidnapped, sold into slavery, hasn't become bitter. Still trusting God, still loving people, still notices when people are struggling. Another is his ability to hear and understand these dreams. He's got an interpretation for them. The question, of course, that matters is, is that interpretation true? Now, you could have told me an interpretation on Saturday morning when I came down to breakfast, having dreamt about standing here and being really embarrassed I was wearing my wellies in church. And you could have told me any interpretation. The question is it true? So, Dorothy, should we find out what happens next?
This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
Thanks, Dorothy. Just amazing. Joseph makes these interpretations. They come true. And I don't know if... I think, wouldn't it be awesome if there was someone like that at St. James? Wouldn't that be cool? If there was someone who could give us God's message really clearly, who could speak truth to us, who could tell us the good news and the bad news, not what we wanted to hear, but could tell us the truth, who would be a true friend, who'd come alongside us in our sadness and give us a true message from the living God. That would be amazing. If we could have a message we could understand from a man we could understand, that would be wonderful. We've thought about a message from God that we can't understand, how we're in the same position as those two men, but they had a man who could come alongside them, explain what God was saying to them, but there were more funny dreams to come. So, Dorothy, would you be happy to read us from chapter 41?
Thank you. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. And then 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy full grains. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him.
Thank you, Dorothy. It's really hard. If you've seen the musical, it's very hard to get that out of your head, isn't it? So Andrew Lloyd Webber does this. He's got Pharaoh standing by the Nile. The Nile is the kind of god of Egypt. It's the source of all the fertility. He has these terrible dreams. And Andrew Lloyd Webber has this massive budget to kind of explain the dreams. The PCC, in their wisdom, have thought it's better to spend 140K on fixing the church hall roof than on animatronic dancing cows for this morning. But what we do have is Scott. So Scott, you are not yet a curate. So, you know, we sort of need to respect the office and dignity of being a curate, but you're not a curate for about 20 minutes or so. So
I'm definitely not one of the gaunt cows.
Well, that's the thing. You are. I mean, now, can't you see? Like, Scott is wasting away down in Hammer End. All right, there you are. There you are. You are a thin cow, and you are going to eat up the cow. There we are. That's... Brilliant. That's eating up. We'll get rid of that. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so and look what Pharaoh says. Just as ugly as before. I'm so sorry. Okay, now, it's all right, we're friends, we're all right. Okay, but so there wasn't just the one dream. There were two dreams, and that is really going to stretch our costume budget, so we're going to have to repurpose some props from another all-age talk. So, Scott, we can put the cow down. Could you put that on for us, please? So this is, as you can tell, this is a bit of sweet corn.
Sweet corn is a banana.
Well, it looks like a banana, doesn't it? Well, it did look like a banana. Brilliant. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy. There we go. We've got our thin, shriveled bit of sweet corn. And sweet corn's got a bit of greenery around it. That's the difference. Can you tell? There we go. We're meant to have seven of these, but our costume budget could definitely not run to seven bits of sweet corn. So we've got our big, giant, juicy bits of sweet corn. So again, it's got the kind of greenery around it to let you know it's not a banana, it's a sweet corn. So the thin cow, a thin bit of corn, eats up all the fat bit of corn. Marvellous, brilliant job. That's all gone. And again, as thin and scrawny as it was before. Okay, can we, Scott, thank you so much for doing that.
I'll take this off.
I think you probably need to take it off before the licensing. We probably should do that, shouldn't we? Thank you. Now, when we see it like that, it's quite funny. For Pharaoh, it clearly wasn't. He was absolutely terrified, and he doesn't have anyone to explain it to him. So, Dorothy, could you tell us what happens next?
Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream on the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.' 'I cannot do it,' Joseph replied to Pharaoh, 'but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires.'"
Thanks, Dorothy. So the cupbearer is going, oh no, I completely forgot. There is one person in the kingdom who knows how to interpret dreams. It's a bit of an unlikely character. And you can imagine Pharaoh going, well, is he hard to find? I'll take anything. Going, do we know where he is? Well, he doesn't get out very much. He doesn't look very promising. To be honest, he doesn't smell very promising either. He's been imprisoned for 2 years, and Pharaoh says, go and get him. And Pharaoh tells him his dream. Joseph repeats the dream back to him. So if you're following in the Bible, Church Bibles, we're going to skip over to page 46. Dorothy, would you be able to read what Joseph says the dream means?
"It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, to be kept in the cities for food. The food should be held in reserve for the country, to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God, and thank you, Dorothy. Okay, isn't that amazing? Don't you envy Pharaoh? Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, I don't envy him the dreams, but wouldn't it be wonderful to have someone who could come alongside us and tell us really clearly what God is saying to us and show his meaning, not in a dream, not in a vision, not in a hunch, not in a funny feeling, not in a horoscope, not in some of the kind of nasty stuff like seances and mediums. Just someone who could tell us really clearly what God's message is. Someone we could understand, who'd understand us. If there was someone at St. James like that, who was a beloved son of the Father, rejected and despised by his brothers, tempted and yet faithful, who suffered because he was righteous, who was filled with God's Spirit to make God clear to us. And as soon as we put it like that, it becomes obvious who the story of the Lord Joseph is really about. This is the story that points forward to the Lord Jesus. So zoomers and folk at the back, you might struggle to see this. Can anyone see what that is? It's a toy car, very good. Yeah, it's a Matchbox a Hot Wheels car. It's a BMW Z3. I mean, it's not actually a BMW Z3, is it? Like, if I got in there and tried to go up to Hanley in it, it's not going to work. It's not going to get me anywhere. It can't take me anywhere. It's only a model. But it is a model, and it's quite a good model. If I look at that, and then I see the real thing, I'll know what the real thing is. I'll be able to go, "Oh, that's a BMW Z3. What is Joseph? The Lord Joseph is a model of the Lord Jesus. He points us forward to the real thing. So when the real thing comes along, we can look at him and go, I see what God is doing. He's given us a pattern, a picture to see what his plan for the world is. This is the suffering servant. This is the one who did the right thing, suffered appallingly for it, refused to grow bitter, trusted in God, kept loving people, filled with compassion. The one who was thrown into the pit of death and is raised up to the right hand of power and glory. So what does this third envelope? What does this third envelope say? Chris and Josh, can I borrow you for a minute? Are you guys happy to come and hold this up for us? Sorry, I should have given you some warning on that, shouldn't I? Thank you. You've probably got to have quite good eyesight if you're at the back to be able to read this. But Chris, if you hold that one. Oh, sorry, there we go. Chris and Josh, brilliant. Thank you. So Book of Hebrews says, "In the beginning, God spoke to our ancestors in many and varied ways." All kinds of different things, like dreams and visions, all kinds of ways in which he communicated to people. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. See how Jesus is even greater than Joseph? Joseph brought God's message. Jesus is God's message. The Bible, these verses go on to say he is the exact representation of God's being. He talks about how after he offered purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty and power. Jesus is the one that the Lord Joseph could only ever point to. So what do we need as a church, as individuals? What do we need? We need someone to bring God's word to us clearly so we can understand it. No dreams, visions, funny feelings, horoscopes, hunches. We need a man, a human being who understands us and who we can understand. It would have to be someone who was God as well, who could take God's message perfectly clearly. What do we get in the Bible? we get the Lord Jesus, exactly the Saviour we need, who can take God's word and make it clear to us, who understands us and who we can understand. And so like Joseph's brothers, what are we called to do? We're called to fall down in awe of Joseph. All the more to fall down in awe of the Lord Jesus, the one who doesn't just bring us God's word, but who is God's word. Amen.